All right, guys, now we've had a lot to cover today. We're glad you're here. We are called by God to champion the family here at Life Point. We want to help create healthy and godly families so that the glory of God will go out. Families with a banner over them, as Joshua said in Joshua 24, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what we want to help create here at Life Point. Now, that's what this series called My House Volume 2 is all about. And in My House Volume 1, we preached in April-ish, and you can go watch it online. And today, as we continue My House Volume 2, what we're going to talk about is how that we want your home to be godly and healthy for the sake of God's glory among your neighbors and the nations, okay? Now, one of the key verses that we used was Joshua 24:15, but another key verse that we used was in the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what we see in Deuteronomy 6 is a sermon that Moses preached to Israel. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy 6. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, Moses is preaching this. Israel's about to go into the promised land. He wants Israel to flourish. He wants Israel to have this amazing impact upon the world. And he knows that for Israel to flourish, families have to flourish. See, that's why we want to champion the family, because for the church to flourish, we know that families has to flourish, and the family of God. If you're single, you're like, okay, I'm single. This is a family, and we have to flourish. And for us to flourish, here's what we have to do. We have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, okay? We have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And so the goal of a Christian parent, if you're a Christian parent, the goal of a Christian parent should be to fill your kid's head with knowledge of God and their heart with passion for the glory of God, to help them to know God, not just so that they'll stay out of trouble and not go to jail, right? But so they can help their neighbors and the nations get into the kingdom of God. Okay? And so that's actually what he means in verse 9 when he says in verse 9 that you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. Why did he say that? Because he's just got through saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Teach them to your children. Let them mark your life, and they'll be written on your doorpost and your gate. What he's saying is that when your family has an unrelenting pursuit and passion for God, your neighbors and nations will take notice. It'll be on they'll look at your family, look in, because what do? You look in at the doorpost and at the gates. People who are on the outside, they look in and they say, oh, it's written on the doorpost and the gates. In other words, it's a cool way of saying, listen, when you love the Lord and when you pursue the Lord with an unrelenting passion in your family, your neighbors and your nations will take notice. They will notice that something is up. Right? What is it that you have? And actually, that's what we want. We want people to look in. We want your neighbors to say, you know what? I want to be a part of Life Point Church because you are, because your family is, right? We want them to say, I want your Lord because you have him, okay? That's really what we want. And so here's the progression. The progression is that moms and dads love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. And then they pour that love into their children. And then the home is transformed in such a way that the neighbors go, I want that. God's glory goes out among the neighbors and the nations. So that's why we're talking today about this thing called hospitality with intentionality. What we want to do today is we want to talk about how your family's commitment to hospitality can make a huge impact on the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you a great book that would supplement what I'm saying, or actually you could learn, I promise you it's worth your read. It's a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key by a woman named Rosaria Butterfield. This is the front of the book, The Gospel gospel comes with a house key. It's an amazing story about a lady who was antagonistic toward Christianity, didn't want anything to do with it, was actually writing about it, and then went to meet with a pastor. He and his wife just absolutely invited her to dinner, and they showed her so much hospitality. Her life was radically altered as she surrendered to Jesus Christ because of the hospitality of this pastor. Not because he preached her a message, not because he sat down and knew the four spiritual laws and shared a tract with her, and, you know, she saw a bumper sticker on the back of his car, or, you know, he had a Christian t-shirt on, but because he literally practiced hospitality with intentionality, okay? So that's what we're asking you to do today, is practice hospitality with intentionality. Now, if you go back as far back as you want to go, God's people have been commanded to practice hospitality. So what is hospitality? Well, the Hebrew word for hospitality basically means loving your neighbor, but the biblical command for hospitality, and biblical hospitality love of stranger, but biblical hospitality is much more than stranger, it's people, right? For instance, let me give you a good working definition of biblical hospitality, so when we talk about it, you know what we mean. Biblical hospitality is the willingness to invite people into your home, your apartment, into your life, so that they can clearly, with the intention of letting them clearly see Jesus. And if they're a believer, so that they can grow in Jesus. And if they're not, so that they can come to know who he is and surrender to him. So it's just a willingness to intentionally invite people into your life for the purpose of the gospel, for the purpose of God's glory, okay? Now, as I said, we have been commanded to share hospitality as far back as you can go in church history. If you go back to Genesis 18, what you see is you see a man named Abraham, and he practices this hospitality as he invites a stranger into his house to rest and refresh after a very long journey. That's hospitality. You see Isaiah talk about hospitality as being clothing the naked. In other words, meeting the needs of people. Whether it's they're hungry, whether it's they need clothing, meeting the needs is hospitality. We fast forward through all so many examples to the book of Acts in the New Testament. And what we see is we see the church. We see the church meeting in homes. We see the church gathered, but we see them meeting in homes to have meals together, to fellowship together, to just meet and hang out. And over those meals, what are they doing, man? They're sharing the word of God. They're talking about the apostles' teachings, which is the word of God. They're helping each other see Jesus and grow in Jesus, and helping those who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. We see Jesus when you look through the Gospels. You see Jesus meeting in homes, sitting around tables, talking about the word of God so that people can grow to become like him, so that people can know who he is. It's hospitality with intentionality. That's the way we should be, but sadly, that's not necessarily the culture that we live in. You see, we've become sort of isolated. Some of the greatest hospitality that I've ever been shown, and I know that if you've traveled internationally, maybe if you've gone on some sending trips with us, this has been your experience, but some of the greatest hospitality I've shown have been in international, maybe even impoverished cultures. And I remember one of the greatest hospitalities, and some of the greatest hospitalities, and some of you have been to Brazil. We go to Brazil. We have a partner in Brazil. We take many trips a year to Brazil. Part of our focus there is on the favelas. If you've never been in a favela is full of basically shanty homes. The shanty homes are built with whatever material you can find. I mean, the wall of this home, then they'll just build, and it'll be the wall of another home. And it might be wood, it might be cardboard, it's whatever you can find. And as you walk through the streets of the favelas, and man, they'll invite you in. And I remember one time when I was walking through, and I was just invited in, and so I went in, and man, they had one Coke, and they got their Coke out. They set it on the table, and they had one piece of cake. They got their piece of cake out, and they wanted to share that with me. And I'm sitting there thinking, I hate to take this because I want to bring, but listen, this was their intent. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is what the people of God should be doing. I mean, the people of God should have this kind of hospitality, but instead, here's what we've got in our culture. We've become so isolated and so private that we keep to ourselves most of the time. I remember as a child, and I grew up in a small town. I grew up in a Mayberry-esque town, if you're an Andy Griffith fan, right? And I mean, it was a small town, but my house and my grandmother's house, and we spent a lot of time at my grandmother's house. She had a large front porch on her house, and it was a farmhouse that my granddaddy had built, and they had a farm. And so we would sit on that front porch at night. And people would come by, the street was out in front, and people would come down the road, and man, most people would come by, would blow the horn and wave, and people would stop and come in and talk, and we'd sit on the front porch, and man, they would talk, and that was just hospitality, and it was just, what do you have? You know, if you had something to drink or eat, you shared it. That's just hospitality, and that was the way I grew up. But today, did you realize that most homes don't even have a front porch? Right? I mean, that's not the way homes are built anymore. We've sort of changed how we design our homes even around our lifestyles, right? And most homes don't have a front porch. What happens is we pull in our driveway after we work all day. We push a button that opens a garage door, and we pull our car into our garage. We get out. We go into our house. And if we go outside, typically it's into our backyard, not onto the front porch, but onto our covered back deck, where there's a privacy fence that's 8 foot high. And the whole point is, I'm not here trying to say, that's our lifestyle. That's our culture. And what it is we're just more isolated and we're more private. But here's what we have to do as believers in Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have to be countercultural people. And so we have to fight that at all costs. We have to fight being private. Your faith is very personal, but it is not private. There's no such thing as a private faith in the Bible. You know, if you heard somebody say, well, I don't talk about two or three things. I don't talk about religion. I don't talk about politics. That's junk. You better talk about religion. Listen, your faith is not private. It's personal, but not private. Not if it's real. It should be very public. And you should be a countercultural person that fights the isolation, because the way the gospel goes out is through relationship. That's one of the main cogs. And so what we see is hospitality with intentionality all through Scripture for the sake of the glory of God. Let me read Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. In Romans 12, 9 through 13, Paul is writing to the church, and here's what he writes. Let love be genuine. Now listen, he's talking about how you love each other. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Contrast between what's evil, what's good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This is really countercultural, isn't it? I mean, just the description of this doesn't sound like the culture we live in necessarily, right? Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And then look at what it says. Seek to show hospitality. You see, he's talking about a countercultural lifestyle. He's talking about seek to show hospitality. And you know that seek to show hospitality, that show hospitality is translated really pursue hospitality, which means it's not an event. It's a continuous action. So hospitality is not an event. It is a life. It's not what we do, it's who we are as believers, right? It should be, having people into our life, inviting people into our life, inviting people into our home, it shouldn't be the exception. It should be the rule, right? It should be the rule that we live by. 1 Peter chapter 4, 9 says, show hospitality to one another. Look at what this says. Show hospitality, this is a command, to one another. Now look at this last part. I want to zoom in on this last part because, man, this is where, without grumbling. Uh-oh. Because you see, here's what we do. Really, you know what this says? This says, man, we need to be a hospitable people and show hospitality without complaining about, well, I got to clean the house and I got to cook a meal and, man, it's going to take some time, and I'm tired, and there's all kind of reasons that we don't do hospitality, right? There's all kind of reasons that we say, man, I don't want to do hospitality. I think most of us avoid it because it creates a little work, because you see, we got to clean up, and our lives and our homes are typically cluttered with a lot of stuff. Right? And it's cluttered with stuff. So it's so much so that every time we think about having somebody over, we look around at all our clutter and we go, oh man, I got to clean all that. It's just not worth it. I just don't want to do it. It's the curse of materialism, right? I mean, it's the curse of materialism, really. And you ever seen this show on the Netflix, Marie Kondo? I mean, it's all the rage now. And I'm thinking, well, all these people, it's got all these reality shows. It's this Japanese decluttering guru lady who's a little bit crazy, you know? And I mean, I'm thinking all these reality shows, if she got one, Man, my life's more interesting than that. I know I can get one, right? Wouldn't you like to see that? So, but she comes into your home, and I say she's crazy because, she prays to the house, and she'll say, pray to the shirt, and you tell the shirt, thank you, shirt. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a little crazy. But anyway, but well, there's something to it because here's what she says. She comes in and she says, you know what? You don't need more storage. You need less stuff. You need to get rid of some stuff, right? You need less stuff. And there's really something to that, isn't there? I mean, we all want to keep up with the Joneses in a way. We just don't want the Joneses to come over and see all the stuff that we got to keep up with the Joneses, right? It's just a lot of stuff. And so, you know, when we show hospitality, I think a lot of times we don't because we look and we got to remember, we got to show hospitality without grumbling. And I think some of us grumble because, man, it's a lot of work and it is a lot of work. But here's what you need to know. When you show hospitality with intentionality, you're showing and revealing the heart and the character of Jesus Christ. Because the ultimate act of hospitality was when Jesus died for sin to invite all who would surrender to him into his household. We're no longer, you see, if you're a believer, you're no longer a stranger. Did you know that? You're now a friend. You're no longer an alien. I mean, you're actually a child of God. You are a part of the household of God. You have a home in God. That is an amazing hospitality, right? I mean, man, he didn't grumble. He died so that we could be a part of his household. That is an amazing hospitality. Why did he do that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says this. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, it says, he predestined us for adoption. He predestined us for adoption. We're his children. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now, why did he do it? Tells us what he done. Now it tells us why. To the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of his glorious grace. He did it for the praise of his glorious grace. You know why he did it? So that people would look at him and go, wow, God, you are awesome. That's why you do it. The point is, that's why you do it. Your whole thing about hospitality with intentionality is so that not just so you can get more friends. I don't want to just invite people over so I can get more friends. I need to invite people over into my life for the glory of God, so that people will see God, so that people will look at God, so that God will get glory. That's why we do it. It's for God's glory among our neighbors and nations. Now I want to talk about two ways, really quickly. I'm not preaching these points, so don't think I'm preaching, you know, some points here. It's going to take forever. But I want to talk about two ways that your hospitality is for God's glory and the gain of the believer, the spiritual gain of the believer. One is, here's what I need you to understand. From the beginning, if you go back, hospitality with intentionality has always been one of the main methods of the Great Commission. One of the main methods of accomplishing the Great Commission is hospitality with intentionality. I mean, if you go back, what you see is you see Jesus, after he died on the cross, come back out of the grave 3 days later. He spent 40 days with his disciples. Then he went back to heaven where he is at this moment with the Father. When he went back to heaven, before he went back to heaven, he left a commandment to all of his disciples. He was speaking specifically to the 120 disciples who were Christians at that moment. There were 120, the Bible says. He was speaking specifically to them, and it was recorded in God's word in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which means he was speaking specifically to them, but also to you, to everyone who's a believer throughout all of eternity, because that's what his word is. And so here's the command he made, not just to the disciples in the moment, but to the disciples for eternity. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Teaching, baptize, all this thing. Go and make disciples. Here's what he didn't say, go and make converts. He didn't say, go get people to come to church. Just go and fill up all the churches. That's not what he said. Go and make disciples. It's huge because what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who becomes like their disciple. A disciple is someone, biblically speaking, who radically reorients their life around the Word of God. A disciple is someone who doesn't just pray a prayer and join a church and going about life as normal. You see, that's what a cultural Christian does. What we call a cultural Christian is someone who, man, maybe pray a prayer, maybe get baptized and all that stuff, but really there's no change about how you see your work or how you approach your neighbor, about how you parent your kids, about how you deal with your wife, about how you forgive your friends. There's no change in all that. You see, Jesus has been added to your life Well, that's not biblical Christianity. That's what we would call cultural Christianity. Biblical Christianity is you become a disciple, not just a convert. A Christian, you know, they're really, the main term for us in the New Testament is not Christian. It's used a very few times. The main term is disciple, right? Are you a disciple? Are you someone who's becoming like Christ? I know there's a long way to go for all of us, okay? But are you becoming like Jesus? Are you reorienting your life? And so how do we do that? Well, to reorient your life around the things of the Word takes a lot of stuff. It takes, man, it takes getting into the Word so I can know how to reorient my life, what my marriage ought to look like. Man, I won't know if I'm not involved in the Word, right? I mean, how to parent, I won't know if I'm not involved in the Word. So I got to get in the Word. I got to get in church so that I can hear God's Word preached. I got to get with people in life group so that, man, I mean, people can help me, because it takes a whole group of people to help me knock off and say, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Right? It takes time. That's why you see Jesus. That's why you see Jesus meeting around tables in homes, spending time with people. Spending time with people. Jesus, man, the religious bunch didn't like him because he spent a lot of time with people that they didn't think he should spend time with. He spent time at parties that they didn't think he should go to, around tables, talking to people, helping them understand who he was. He spent time doing hospitality with intentionality, and it's best done through relationships, right? I mean, so biblical hospitality is intentionality. You can throw a mean party, I promise. You can throw a good party. People can show up, and you know what they'll do, man? You can look on, you go to Instagram the next day, and man, people can be posting pictures about your mean party, and it's good, and it's fun, and man, everybody had a blast at your mean party. But if it wasn't done with the intentionality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wasn't biblical hospitality. It was just a good old mean party. You know what I mean? I mean, nothing wrong with a good old mean party as long as it's done with hospitality, with intentionality. Done for the cause of, man, I want to do this. I want to get you guys together. And, man, we're going to intentionally try to help people see Jesus more clearly. We're going to intentionally try to do this for God's glory, because conversations on couches and around tables tear down walls, folks, that Christian tracks and Christian t-shirts and Christian bumper stickers just can't do, right? When you have someone in your home, there's a level of honesty and vulnerability that just comes down. And man, you can begin through relationship to help people who don't know Christ begin to understand, you know what, man, I see your life and I want what you got. I want Jesus because you got him. I want to go to Life Point Church because you go to Life Point Church. That's what we want, right? It's best done through relationships. And so this is one of the main ways of accomplishing the Great Commission. So who are you going to invite in to your life? Who are you going to invite in to your home? Who are you going to invite in to your hobbies, into your life, for the intention of God's glory among your neighbors and nations? Now, the second thing is hospitality changes our children. First, it's one of the main ways that the Great Commission is accomplished. But second, it changes your children. Now, you know, met three of them today, and I've got two more, and here's what I know. Faith, your children are going to learn so much about your faith by watching you live it, right? I mean, you can say a lot, the Bible commands us to teach our children, doesn't it? We just read it a while ago in Deuteronomy 6. These things that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, teach them to your children diligently. You got to be teaching the Bible to your children. But let me make sure you know, your children are going to be watching how you live and see if it syncs with what you say about God's Word. Does it sync? Does it sync? Doesn't mean you're perfect at all. No one's perfect. Your kids know that. Your neighbors know that. They do not expect you to be perfect, to never lose your cool, to never make a mistake, to never commit a sin. They do not expect that. What do you do when you do? That's where it begins to line up and sync with God's Word. That's overall, are you gracious with your wife and with your kids? Overall, there's going to be moments when you're not, but overall, are you gracious? Overall, what's your life lived for? Is your life lived for your glory, for God's glory? I mean, does what you live match what you say? You see, that's what your kids are going to be looking at overall, okay? Not the moments, the big picture, okay? And here's what they're going to see. They're going to learn about your stuff. Is your stuff, what you do with your house, they're going to say, well, it's either his for his glory, or it's God's for God's glory with what I do with my stuff, with what I do with my money. It's mine for my glory. It's God's for God's glory. What am I teaching them with what I do with it? When they see me talk about, when they see me, man, I can stand up and preach to you. And my kids see me stand up and preach to you, and they hear me talk about passion for lost people. Do they see me live a life that actually pours into lost people? Do they see you live a life that cares about lost people? My family, not too long ago, we had dinner with a Muslim family. They invited us over, and we got good hospitality with these, wonderful people, as we go in the other night, Allie Kate, I'm sitting and I'm praying. We're having our family, my house family worship, and I said, "Who do we need to pray for, kids? Who do you know that you need to pray for to come to know Jesus?" I mean, you know, we want to teach our kids. You always want to be praying for lost people. And one of my kids said, "We need to pray for and name the kids of this family." And I said, "Oh, that's great. That's great. The good people, they don't know Jesus. And let's pray. Let's just pray for them." Right? And so what do your kids see you do? Do they see, man, we're going to invest in this? Because if they see you, they'll join the mission. They'll join the mission. They'll begin to see. Do you know what? Here's a stat that's sobering. Most kids of Christians do not follow Jesus. Did you know that in today's world? Man, it used to be teenagers, you know, Christians. Today, most of our teenagers who have Christian parents are not following their parents' footsteps in America. Why is that? Well, after many surveys and studies, here's the biggest determining factor is from kids. Well, my mom and dad claim to be Christians, and I literally see no effect upon their life. I literally see no effect. Why do I want it? What good has it done? It's not real. What are your kids seeing? So listen, hospitality with intentionality is one of the greatest ways that you can share the gospel. It's one of the greatest ways you can accomplish the Great Commission, and it's one of the greatest ways that you can pour Jesus into your kids. It will change your kids. Now, let me take a moment. I want to close by giving you some very practical ways to accomplish hospitality with intentionality, because what I don't want you to do is leave here with a misconception about what hospitality is and be more burdened than blessed, okay? So I want to release you of a few things, I hope. So first off, let me talk about what hospitality is not. Hospitality, folks, is not a Pinterest perfect picture, okay? Hospitality is not an Instagram-filtered moment. It's not a Martha Stewart meal, okay? That's not what Instagram is, or that's not what this Instagram, Pinterest, Martha Stewart, it's not those things. It's not what hospitality is. Often I think we shy away from it because we think, man, in order to do hospitality, man, our place has to look like some photo on a cover of a magazine, right? And I promise you, that's not what you're going to get at my house. Okay? That's not what you're going to get. Hospitality is sometimes messy, right? I mean, if you come to my house, I've got 5 kids, I've got 2 grandkids, I've got a daughter-in-law and getting ready to have my second daughter-in-law, I've got dogs running around everywhere. Do you possibly think my house is clean? I mean, now listen, now we ain't talking we got 2 weeks worth of dishes in the sink, okay? That'd be a problem. But my house, you come to my house, there's going to be toys laying around, all right? You come to my house, here's what's going to happen probably. Man, I've got kids everywhere. They're going to be kids running around everywhere. It's going to be messy. They're going to be kids running around. Kids going to be screaming. My kid's going to punch your kid probably, and then I'm going to whoop my kid, and everybody's going to be crying. I mean, that's real life. That's what you're going to get at my house. Football game probably going to be on. If there's one on, if there's not, it's probably going to be a rerun of the football game on. I mean, that's what you're going to get at my house, right? I mean, hospitality is not this Pinterest picture. Please don't do that because, let me ask you something, man. When I go to somebody's house, if you ever invite me over to your house and I come in and that place is spotless, you know what I'm going to be thinking. I'm going to tell Amy or my kid, don't open that closet, man. Everything's going to fly out of there at once because it's all jammed up in them closets. You know what I'm talking about. We got somebody coming over and we don't want to do a deep clean. Just open the closet. Throw it in the closet. Right? I mean, man, listen, I've never walked into someone's house with blankets laying on the floor and toys here and there and, you know, and a plate laying on the counter and go, oh my goodness, honey, these people are just slothful. I've never done that. I walk in and go, Yes. I mean, man, they didn't try to be somebody they're not, right? So I'm trying to relieve you of that. Hey, listen, I promise you this. Who cares about glass plates? You know, Amy's like always, I'm like, why are you doing that? We get paper plates. Right? I mean, get paper plates. I mean, because I want to get paper plates because I want to throw them away when you leave if you come to my house. Because if I don't, my wife's going to have to spend time, and I want her to spend time with me not cleaning up dishes. Right? And so get paper plates. If you want, if you really are bent on, man, if I got to have glass dishes, then you can go to some of your high-class friends. My house's not going to do for you, okay? At my house, we're going to pull out the Solo cups, red Solo cup, I fill you up, whatever it is. We're gonna pull out the Solo cups and man, we're gonna have some hospice. I can't believe I just said that. That's gonna be stuck in my head. Let's have a party. I walked in a hotel in Bangkok, Thailand, and that song was on the coming over the loudspeakers in Bangkok, Thailand. I never got it out of my head the whole week. Red Solo cup. So what was I talking about? Oh. Yes, it's messy, right? It don't have to be this picture-perfect thing. That's not what hospitality is. You know what hospitality is? It's life. It's life. I mean, hospitality is, man, kicking the toys in the corner. It's inviting people over for a meal. It's sitting around in the back porch or on the yard. Kids running around everywhere. Dogs biting and yapping. And I mean, it's life. And you're saying, man, hey, come on into my life. Be real. That's what it is. That's hospitality. Who are you inviting in? But also, I want you to understand, it's not just at your home. This is a home right here. So if you're single, we're going through this. You might not be married and have kids, but you're part of a family, and this is a family. And so when people come into this house, what do they experience? What do they experience when they come into this house? We want people that come into this house to experience such an incredible hospitality that they see the hospitality of God in the smile on your face. Man, we want people to come in, and we want you to greet people. And if you don't know somebody, I want to give you a challenge. If you don't know somebody, you go up to them and introduce yourself. Or go up to them and say, hey, how long have you been a part of LifePoint? They may have been here 10 years. Great, you're just now meeting one of your brothers and sisters. If not, then they might say, I've been here last week for a week or two. Great, man, my name is Pat. You're getting to know people. Show hospitality. If somebody comes in and needs to know where the nursery is or where the children's ministry is, don't point. Take them. I don't care if you're late to get in here, right? Show hospitality. Take them. Let me show you. That's hospitality. What if I come to your house and you never greeted me? I come in. I got me a plate of food. I ate. I got up and left. Man, that's not hospitality. That's what it would be if someone comes into church. They're not greeted by anyone. They sit down. They get fed, you know, the sermon. They leave. No, that's not good. So hospitality is not just a home. It's here in this house. So here's the thing. Don't ever underestimate the power of your living room when it comes to sharing the gospel, okay? Don't ever underestimate it. Don't ever underestimate the power of a smile and a handshake and a how are you doing when people walk into this house. Don't ever underestimate hospitality. Hospitality with intentionality. This is what we're asking your family to do, to write it on the doorpost of your homes and on your gates so that people can see what you've got and say, you know what? I want that. It's not perfect, but I want it. Your life's not perfect, but you've got something, and I want it, right? So who are you inviting in? Who are you inviting in? That's what I want to ask you to do. Who are you inviting in? Now, we're transitioning to a time of response. We've preached the message, and man, every week we preach, we want to give you a time to respond to that because the Holy Spirit, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's led you to do. Sometimes it leads you to worship and pray. Sometimes he's been laying some people on your heart that you need to invite in. Some of you need to maybe repent of some things. Some of you just need to praise Jesus. Some of you might say, man, I came, I don't know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. You come back and talk to us. We're out these doors to the right. We want you to respond however God leads you to respond. Okay? We want you to respond. One of the responses is giving, our tithes and offerings. If you're a member, a regular, a tender of this place, now, when the basket gets in front of you, you might think, well, there's not a whole lot of money. A lot of people give online, like me. I figure out my salary, and then I give online, and I set it up recurring, and we ask you to do that if you got a salary because it's just consistent for you. It's consistent for us. It's great. Thank the Lord for it. A lot of people do that. Maybe you can't because your salary's different. You can give here. You can still give online through our app. Online, people do that. And so, but this is a time for members, regular attenders, to respond and with giving. And if you're not a member, you can give us just some information. Just fill out that card so we can thank the Lord for you. But as we do this, I want to thank you for being faithful in giving. I want to thank you for your generosity. We had an incredible year from our budget perspective in 2018 because of your generosity. And even with our one-day offerings, we took up two, and our total for our one-day offerings, just to report to you, was like $150,000, $149,000, $466. Because of that, I want you to know the gospel, many people who would have never heard the gospel is going to hear the gospel because of your generosity. Thank you for that. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for following. Thank you for your faithfulness. Man, it's awesome because many people are going to hear the gospel that would have never heard it. And so thank you. We're going to respond. I'm going to pray. Who are you inviting in this week? That's the question. Who are you inviting in? Let's pray. You come back and see us if we can help you in any way. God, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. God, we're talking about grace marriage. Help us to be grace, help us to be people who are grace-based. Grace with our in our marriages, grace as parents, grace in our friendships. God, help us through that grace to show hospitality in a way that our neighbors and the nations take notice. God, help us to intentionally do it to share Jesus. God, help us to not just expect that to happen. Help us to look for ways that in that we can talk about our church, we can talk about Jesus, and people can want that, Lord. God, I know no one in here is perfect. We can't be perfect. God, not on this side, but I pray that we would be intentional. And Lord, through that intentionality, that people would come into your kingdom. Help us to not underestimate the power of our couch, the power of our living room, the power of our kitchen table in presenting the gospel to a world, to our neighbors and nations. We love you, we praise you, we adore you. Help us, dear God, to begin to think, who are we inviting in? In Jesus' name, amen.